We don't know anything about what's happening in the Philippines, so I guess that's the way it is. At any rate, first of all, we would like to thank you for your continued fellowship with us. It's going on for nearly 50 years now for my wife, and that's fantastic. Every month, this assembly has helped support the ministry that we're involved in. Later on, I'm going to be sharing with you some of that work. We're your representatives there. We're not doing all the work on our own, but we are workers together, and we want to share this with you to encourage you, not to discourage you, but to encourage you in the things of the Lord. Specifically this morning, I'd like to thank the assembly for their very generous gift last month of, or this month, of $700. It always helps, and if it's more than we need, it helps in other areas of the work. So we thank you and praise God for you. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. You know, it's good being an outside speaker. You don't get time limitations, so I don't know when I'm supposed to shut up, but anyway, we'll see how it goes. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had been, had by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. And we know that his direction to them was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that was the orders that was given. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So much is taught and preached about in this day and age, but it's all about man and what he has done, things that he's involved in. The Lord set the example for us. He taught the things concerning himself, about his kingdom, and the things to come. So for 40 days he spoke to them things concerning the kingdom, and gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is this the time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And they were gazing intently into the sky while he was departing. Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come again just the same as you have watched him go into heaven. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word. I tried to picture in my own mind this event. For 40 days Christ had been with his disciples. He had taught them. He had challenged them. He had commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And here we find him again meeting with his disciples, and he's encouraging them concerning what they are to do and the hope that they have in Christ Jesus. He didn't just stay there and say, okay, it's up to you, but this was a challenge for the believers to be active, to be involved, and teaching the word of God and preaching the word of God until that time when he would come again. And we don't know when that time is. We have no idea when Christ will come again. But in the meantime, we are to be active. I think it was sort of a little bit of a rebuke here as I read it, that when the angels came and stood beside him, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heavens, unto the sky?" It sort of seems to me that he's saying, okay, now it's for your turn to get on to get the job done. That you need to go forth. You need to preach and teach the word of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were not to go forth on their own strength. And if we look at our own lives and ministry, it's nothing that we really have done. It's the Lord working through us. And what I want to share with you this morning is these New Testament principles and practices that are being applied in the Church of God today in the Philippines. This is not just our work. We are a team. We have a number of co-workers helping with us in sharing the good news of salvation and starting new assemblies. And today we're there basically as encouragers. Sometimes we need to give them a little bit of a push in the right direction, but we're there to assist the locals in taking the good news to the Philippines. So what I'm going to share with you, Lord willing, this morning is the ministry that we're involved in, part of the ministry. Last year I shared with you the school ministry, which is still ongoing, and we'd ask you to continue praying. This year we have over 850 students, and we don't know where to put them all. We've run short of classrooms in the four schools, three of the schools in particular. So we've had to turn away young people who want to come to our school, which is a good testimony. And we're just thankful what the Lord's doing there. So what I want to speak to you, share with you today, is the ministry as it has gone over the years and what we're involved in today. Basically, the assemblies that we are involved in. So hopefully this will work according to plan. Our home assembly in the Philippines is Cayinta Christian Church. It was started in 1972. We became involved in 1974. In the town of Cayinta, Rizal, which is just outside of Metro Manila, there are three assemblies, and this is the oldest one. You can see it here. This is our chapel building, and this fence was just built in here. We had hoped to buy that piece of property for our school, but the Lord had other ideas and has helped us purchase another piece of land, which I'll share with you in a minute. So this is the outside picture. It's not a very pretty picture, especially when you see all the power lines all gathered around it, but that's the way life goes in the Philippines. As I mentioned earlier, the Lord has provided for us nearly 1,000 square meters of land on which we're building a new school. There's just no way we can accommodate all the students. And this picture is a little old. This classroom here is now completed and being used, and we're moving down here. We hope to have 9 classrooms in this building. This is our first phase. And the Lord continues to supply, and we continue to spend his money. It's great fun. Okay, so we have the 9 classrooms here. As I mentioned earlier, this school in particular, 450 kids, and we have had to turn away students. The school ministry is our outreach ministry primarily. In conjunction with the school, we also have home Bible studies. This is in the chapel at Cayinta. Good turnout this particular Sunday. Usually it's pretty full. We are using the main chapel as 2 classrooms. We've got a temporary divider because we just don't have enough classrooms. This is a group of young people that were saved some time ago and baptized in May of this year. This is our young people's group. We have a pretty good young people's group. They're committed to the Lord. We thank God for them. One of the exciting things is our Sunday school. In our most assemblies today, their Sunday school is either dead or dying or ready to be buried. Ours is a little different in Cayinta. Some of our teachers volunteered, was their suggestion, that they would teach tutorial classes on Saturdays, special classes for students who wanted to get ahead. And that was great. There was one condition, that if they came to these special classes, they had to attend Sunday school. So we will have probably 40 parents from the community in Sunday school every morning, some along with their kids, and our chapel's full to overflowing as a result of this ministry. So we praise God that we have a very live and very vibrant Sunday school, and we thank the Lord for them. Okay, the assembly in Kayinta has an outreach, Linwood Christian Academy. We have the 450 students. We had to turn away quite a large number this year because we just do not have the classrooms. We have 21 full-time staff members that are supported by the school. We want all of our schools to be self-supporting, and although we don't charge them very much, it does cover the operational cost. This assembly has not had much of an outreach for quite some time, other than in the local community. But they are now praying about having an outreach about, 100 miles south of Manila, where we have some believers who originally attended the assembly. One of the things that we have found that the assemblies, the new assemblies, really are results of relatives sharing the gospel with their relatives, and then a Bible study started and people continue to come to know the Lord and want to continue on. One of our first outreaches from Kayinta, a long time ago now, was Rosario Christian Church in Pasig City. This is part of Metro Manila. There are two assemblies, and they have fairly good fellowship there. This is our chapel building. We have three stories. We had hoped to buy the piece of land across the way, and we were going to put a four-story building in there with underground parking sort of thing. But the Lord didn't provide for that, so in the meantime, we are restricted in the number of students we can have in our school here, but the facilities are well used. We still have some work to do with construction here, but not a great deal we can do. We finally have permits for the building that we're in. We have a permit to occupy the building, which we've only done for the last 20-odd years, and we've had to rewire the whole building. It's been quite an expensive undertaking, but we are now operating legally. This is in the assembly on a Sunday morning. This particular Sunday was when a lot of our young people were up at camp, so numbers are low, but it gives you an idea of the inside of the chapel. This is some of our young people. We have a good number of young people in the assembly, and they're starting to grow in the Lord and continue to take on. These were the young people that were baptized in April. Just a couple of weeks ago, seems like a couple of weeks ago, probably a little bit longer, we had special recognition for Mother's Day, and these were all the mothers in the assembly. So we have a pretty good size fellowship when everybody is there. This is our young people's group, and one of our elders is doing an excellent job in teaching them. She's singing her heart out for the Lord. Okay, Lyngrove is our school there. We have 225 students. We can't take any more. We have 13 full-time staff. This assembly, although very small, has a number of outreaches. We've got two listed here, and actually they help the assembly in Malabon as well. But we have regular teaching and preaching in Antipolo and in the town of Taitai. This is quite some distance from us. It's on the other side of the floodway, and they have a good outreach program here. The next town east of us from where we live, in the town of Taitai, is the town of Angono. There are four assemblies in this town. There's a number of them that are fairly new, but the assembly that we're working with is probably the oldest assembly there. And this assembly is struggling. Both Kayinta and Rosario are doing pretty good on their own. This assembly really is struggling. numbers look great in this photo, but that's because the outreach in a place called Alrenda. Okay, forgive me, I'm in Lulu Land this morning, so. The assembly in Alrenda, which is also in the town of Taitai, they meet with the assembly in Angono. It's an outreach from Angono, and they're there every first and third Sunday, so our numbers look a bit better there. This is inside their chapel. It's not a very large fellowship, but it's a fellowship that does have a concern to reach out to others, and this is our couples fellowship. This is a small number of young people. Unfortunately, we have ups and downs when it comes to the number of young people that we have. Come Christmas time, we have a lot more young people than we do during the rest of the year. Thank you, you're a good man. Now I've got two cups of glasses of water and a cup of tea, and I'm going to be supplied for the rest of the week. Thank you very much. This is our full-time worker. He's a single guy. Very faithful, very committed. And he's carried on doing most of the work there. Unfortunately, one of our elders in the assembly got his pride hurt, and he decided he was going to leave and go to some other fellowship. So right now we don't have any functioning elders in the assembly, and Tony is carrying on doing the work of leadership there in conjunction with a few others. Earlier I mentioned the group from Arenda. This is also in the town of Taitai, in which we live. It's a very poor area. We had an anniversary service there just a couple of weeks ago, and this is the street. They put up a tent over the street, if you can call it a street, okay? You have to watch where you walk. It's uneven and it's broken up concrete and so on. But they have there, and the believers from Angono came and joined them for their anniversary, and it was good to have a joint fellowship there. These are the young people from Arenda. Actually, this girl here is one of our teachers in Kayinta. She's smaller than most of them. This is the young people from, the young people and old people from Arenda. They are meeting in the home of this sister here. It's very, very small. There is no other place for them to meet. And they're praying about getting a place that will give them a bit more space, and then hopefully start a regular fellowship there. Some of the young people still getting their teeth. Okay, this is a joint photo of those that came from, actually this is all from Angono that came to visit for the fellowship time. But this is just a tent up out over the street. And fortunately it didn't rain that day, so we were able to continue. It started to come down part of the time. It's a joint fellowship. Malabon is on the north side of Manila. Both Rosario and Cayinta joined in the outreach here, and we have a two-story building. Our Sunday school, this assembly really has struggled. It has many ups and downs and many interpersonal relationship problems. It's been very frustrating when we think we're getting ahead and then somebody else will do something crazy. Christians don't do anything crazy, they just do crazy things. But this is some of the kids in the downstairs for Sunday school class. This is upstairs where we meet regularly. It's a good number. We praise the Lord for them all. This assembly is not that large, but it's a place where the word is being taught. We just commended to full-time service this young couple. Actually, a couple of years ago, I did their wedding for them. And Irwin and his wife, Delisai, are serving the Lord there. Delisai has a job, but Irwin is in full-time ministry. We have others that help in this assembly. And Esther here is one of the elders from Rosario, and he has been the father to the fellowship there, has worked with them and encouraged them. And Lito is a full-time worker. He has been commended by the Rosario Assembly, but he doesn't spend much time here in Malabon. But they work together and help in the outreach here. Meal time after the service, fellowship meal. This assembly has started a new work, and it's only a small assembly, but on the island of Mindoro. We had a family who joined us in the fellowship, and after a short time, they invited the believers there to go down to the island of Mindoro and be involved there to teach the Word of God. And two home Bible studies have been started, and a number have been baptized, and there are several new believers there, and it's their prayer and desire that we will start a new assembly down there. The trouble is it's quite some distance. You've got to take an inter-island ferry to get there, and then it's 3 hours from there, from where the boats land to the location. We have not been down there ourselves, but the arm is being twisted a little bit nowadays for us to go down and to be an encouragement for them. So we don't have any photos of this outreach, but the Lord is blessing, and they've baptized a number, and we just want you to pray that the wolves will not come along and snatch the sheep. Okay, we cannot be there all the time. We don't have anybody that can go down there at this stage to be full-time in the area, but it's exciting to see them reaching out into a new part of the country. Hillcrest is in the town of Taitai. There are four assemblies in this town. Population of about, 300,000-350,000 people in the town, and we do have four assemblies. And although each one has its own ministry, there is good cooperation. This is the chapel building and school building at Hillcrest. This is the actual chapel building down in here. We have classrooms up all along here, some down here and around the back as well. We need to complete three classrooms here. This is where we have our school. This is Lindcrest Christian Academy. And the Department of Education have told us that we have to complete the three rooms before they give us our permit or our recognition. We have a permit to operate, but we need a recognition from them. That way we don't have to file every year. So Lord willing, and then before we come home next time, we should be able to finish this wall off here and then put two classrooms up inside our chapel. Lindcrest Christian Academy is our main outreach program. We do have 125 students. We need about 150 to make it really self-supporting, but this is all that the Lord has given us at this stage. It's an area where private education is not practiced very much, and the community is very poor. So we do give the students that have come about a 50% discount so that we can have them there. We've just hired a new teacher, or two new teachers this year. One was full-time assistant, and he's still there. And then we have a new teacher, and then three that help them in keeping the school clean and operating properly. We really do need a business manager at the school. But so far, we haven't been able to afford one, so the teachers do all the business work as well. Our teachers in all the schools are so dedicated, it encourages me. I was going to say it puts me to shame, but we just thank the Lord for our teachers who are committed to serving the Lord through the school. All of our teachers, if they went to a public school, they could probably make double of what they're receiving. But they look at their ministry at the schools as service unto the Lord, and they're willing to accept a lower pay. One of the benefits is they have lower class numbers. Most government schools in the Philippines, 60 is an average number. We try not to have more than 30. Actually, we try not to have more than 25, but in Cainta, we're up to 30 plus. Now, I want to share with you concerning two assemblies that are that we work with, not on a regular basis, but they are outreaches from the assemblies that I have already mentioned. Emmaus Christian... Change the brand this time. Have tea. Okay, this is up way up north. It's about a 12-hour drive from Manila, so we don't go there every week. If we can make it once a year, we feel that we've done a good job. So this is an assembly that was started by a couple from Cainta. I went up there at the beginning of the ministry and did some Bible teaching, and they now continue to go on. They have had a relationship with the Korean Brethren, and actually the Koreans paid for the chapel that they have there, so it's a very nice facility. Not yet completed, but it's a facility. Excuse me. It's a place where the Word of God is being taught. As far as we know, there are no other assemblies in the province. In the next province north of that, there are two assemblies, but in Ilocos Sur, there is only this one assembly. It's inside the chapel. Doesn't have a ceiling in there yet, but it's coming. And they have a good fellowship there. We'd ask you to pray that the Lord would raise up new men, raise up elders in particular to lead the fellowship. There are two brothers who work together, but probably would never meet the scriptural requirements of elders, but they're serving the Lord, and we thank the Lord for them. And then the next assembly is not one that we actually had any involvement in the beginning. One of the missionaries from another group had an outreach program on the island of Mindoro, and they were looking for somebody to come and assist them in the outreach. The assembly, they then invited at that time one of our full-time workers to go down there and to do some Bible teaching. The elder came from Hillcrest, so he went down there and helped them. And the Lord has really blessed this ministry. It's the only assembly on Mindoro Island that we know of, but we are hoping that next year we will be able to report that there are at least two assemblies because of the outreach from Malabon. 700 members. Well, 700 attend. Actually, I've been down there up to over 1,000 have attended the Sunday services there. Not all are believers. They have a livelihood program. That's the word I'm looking for. My mind is in Lululand. They have a livelihood program where these women originally were taken off the beaches where they were making bracelets and so on, and also involved in prostitution, because it was the only way that they could live. And this missionary who had a vision decided to provide them a livelihood program. And the growth of this has been just unbelievable. The number of people who have become involved and baptized here. Not all of these are believers, but they have to be there every Sunday if they want to keep be involved in the livelihood program. So up to 1,000 attend their anniversary service, about 700 a regular. on a Sunday morning. They do things a little different to what I would do, but they love the Lord, and they're meeting as a local church, and the Lord's blessing them in this outreach. This is Sunday morning during the outreach. And you can't get an idea, really, in a picture, just how many there are. But wouldn't it be great if Grace Gospel had 700 members here? Blow our minds away. This is one-third of the young people's group. I couldn't take a panorama view of everybody, okay? So this is just one-third of the number of young people that attend this fellowship. You want to be encouraged? Go to Aninuan. This assembly has started a high school. You might ask, why a high school, not an elementary like the ones that we are working with? There is no high school in the area, and the students have to go into this, into the, and they have to go into town to go to high school, and it's expensive and quite some distance away. So they have started off, and we've got two grades there for high school, and eventually they'll go through the 4 years that are set up. So I think they have 28 students this year, and it's providing another means of outreach to the community. We were down there for the anniversary, and usually when I go down there, there's three things that happen. I preach on the Sunday morning, we have a baptism, and I usually preach at the baptism, and our full-time worker there, Al Matienzo, he does the baptizing, and then usually we have a wedding. It seems to work that way. So this was a group that were baptized this particular Sunday. 3 or 4 years ago, we had a baptism where we had three different baptisms in the one morning because they came from the remote areas, and they had to walk 2 or 3 hours to get to the beach. And one group came, and they got baptized, and then a little later, another group came, and they got baptized. And this is the third baptism that they had this particular year. So the Lord's blessing, and souls are being saved, and we're just excited to see what the Lord is doing there through them. Okay, I guess that's the end of that story. Pray that the Lord would continue to work in the hearts and lives of these people. It's not our work, it's the Lord's work, and we're only a small part of it. We have a good team that work with us. Probably more of my time is spent in counseling than anything else at this particular stage. And when any problems arise in the assembly, they pass it over to me. I don't know why, but they think I can handle it better perhaps than they can. But we need wisdom in how to divide our time. Actually, the schedule for the rest of the year is crazy, put it mildly. We're invited in different places to preach and teach, some in the Philippines, some overseas. And it's a matter of knowing what our priority should be. Unfortunately, we're not getting any younger. And the Lord continues to have a ministry for us there. Right now, we don't have any plans on retiring. We just get tired, but that's okay. It's the Lord's work, and we carry on. So pray for this work. These are the assemblies that we're directly involved in. There are probably 250-odd assemblies in the Philippines. Some of them are very remote, very tribal. Some of them are quite small. But the Lord is blessing, and we're seeing souls saved, and the work is continuing to grow. So this is part of your ministry, because we're just an extension of what you are doing for us here. So we ask that you'd pray, continue to pray for these different outreaches. Anybody have any questions they might want to ask? Ladies first. Mitzi. All of it is in Tagalog. All of the assembly ministries are in Tagalog. If you read Missions Magazine a couple of months ago, we're hoping to start an English-speaking assembly for Manila area. Jerry Yui is a Filipino commended from the States, and he's back there, and he's doing a great job. We're hoping to see that group of young people, it's about 17 of them, who have already come to know the Lord. Many have been baptized. I had the joy of being invited to go and baptize them. 13 were baptized, and that is an English-speaking ministry. All the rest is in Tagalog, except some of the schools use more English than we would use in the churches. No, I can get by. If you give it to me in English. Wait. Take a breath. Okay. I'll say it to you, but it's double the length, so you double the payment, okay? Sapagkat kaya na lamang ang pagsinta ng Diyos sa sanlibutan na ibinigay niya ng kanyang buktong na anak upang kung ang sinuman sa kanya ay sumampalataya, hindi siya mapahamak kundi magkaroon ng buhay na walang hanggang. That's it. Don't ask me a lot of other verses. John. He's just trying to follow the U.S. president. actually, there's a trio of presidents that we think have a similar outline, has similar background, or whatever you want to call it. President Duterte is a man who tries to keep his word. He's a man that doesn't fool around. And if you're a drug pusher in the Philippines, you're going to likely die because he's going to take care of the issue. Our biggest concern, well, before that, you probably heard that he declared martial law on the island of Mindanao. Ruth and I were down there recently for our Daily Bread Bible Conference, which I was speaking. No effect really in most of the island. There's two provinces that are really radicalized and quite an issue for the government. So we do have martial law down the south, but there are several factions and it's basically Muslims fighting Muslims. But our biggest concern is his cozying up to China and Russia. And they have made a number of deals that we don't think are very wise. China is very pushy. It's taken over territory that has been claimed by the Philippines for a long time, some of the South Sea Islands. And they have planted their flags on there and they put in the airstrips and airplanes, fighter jets and so on, which is really a big concern for us. And if you look in the newspaper, people are applying for work in the Philippines, probably three quarters of them are Chinese because they have to make an application. It's got to be publicized in the newspaper. So they are taking over by default. President Duterte has many issues and a number of issues against the United States. Where we're going, we don't know. Whether he will see his term out, we doubt it. But he's the guy that the Lord has put in place to be our governor, our president at this stage. So we live with it. We pray for him. And what the future holds, only God knows. Jim. If you read the newspaper, it's about 8%. If you look around the community, it's probably 18. It's pretty high. And I believe that anybody who really wants to work can find work. But like most places in the world, people are a little choosy as to what they work at. And there are jobs offering or offered, but many Filipinos just don't want to take that job because it's below their dignity to take a... There is a minimum wage, which at this stage is about, for a casual worker, $8 a day. $8 a day. But many of our Filipino friends don't make $8 a day. That is the law. But they hire people under a contract system. And if they're hired for less than 6 months, they don't have to pay the minimum pay and they don't have to give the minimum benefits. So a lot of big firms will hire people for 5 months, 6 months, and then drop them and then take on a new batch of workers. So people are not receiving their $8 a day. How they do it, I don't know.
What is healthcare like? Do you have a healthcare
problem here? Well, there's no guarantees, no public health. You have to pay for it. Well, there are a few government hospitals, but that's a good place to go and die. Services are pretty bad. There's no Social Security as such, although the government does have a health scheme, but it covers very, very minimal. We pay into a health scheme for our workers, our staff, and so on. But anything major, sorry, the only place you can get help is you go to the sweepstakes office, and if they will agree to your need, they will help you financially. So there are some things that help them, but generally speaking, they don't have any resources or any reserves for any medical emergencies. Judy.
Do all of your teachers have college education?
Yes, and they're all certified. They all have degrees, and then there is a professional regulatory system which gives them a license to teach. Hillcrest, out of the 8 teachers, 7 have got their licenses, 1 doesn't, but she is an education major. Rosario, we have about 50-50. We have a lot of older teachers in Rosario that unfortunately will never get their licensure exams. They'll never pass. But for us to get our recognition for our school, eventually we're going to have to let them go or provide something else for them to do, because one of the requirements is that a certain percentage of our teachers are what they call let passes. But we, go ahead. Well, for example, their Lord's Supper is a little different, all right? When we're there, it's the same way as we would normally do. The bread would be passed and the wine would be passed. There, they go up to the front. They break the bread because it's so big, so vast. What we have tried to do is to encourage them to have more plates, more cups, and do it that way, but so far doesn't seem to have gotten through. The music's a little bit different. I think it's more lively. Yeah, Karen's got the idea. Not major things. The biggest problem that I see there is it's basically a one-man ministry. They don't have any recognized elders. They do have a couple of men who are working with them, but as far as I know, they're not recognized as elders at this stage. So it's a work in progress, and we're seeing that things are being changed slowly. But we enjoy being down there. It's thrilling for us to meet with so many believers. Not all are believers. We should emphasize that, okay? Not all are believers. My wife wants to tell me something. Okay, the reason why is the livelihood program, to be involved in the livelihood program, you have to attend Sunday morning service. So there are hundreds and hundreds of people involved in this livelihood program. My wife, what do you want to say? Okay, Threads of Hope. Threads of Hope was a ministry that was established makes it basically doing bracelets and anklets and weaving. If I had my camera here, I'd show you part of their work. Do you have your camera here? Nope. These were people that were living off the beach, living on the beach, basically. No other means of income. A few of them were involved in this making of bracelets, and then when the couple that really had the vision for Threads of Hope, when they made contact with it and saw what was going on, then they decided to develop a program, and the program mushroomed. It just really took off. And there are hundreds of people involved in making these bracelets. The Lord has blessed the bracelets. All those that are involved get paid for what they do, which can give them a reasonable salary. But they're sold here in the States primarily, and they have been able to build the facilities that they have, which is unbelievable. The building that they meet in has a full-size basketball court on the roof, covered basketball court. They also have the downstairs where they meet for Sunday service. They have built a clinic, birthing clinic. They have built a home for their staff. And money doesn't seem to be a problem because of the way that these bracelets have been sold around the world. My wife more first. Go ahead. Okay. Bonita.
What is the
taking on more people in from the business world, but because of the facilities that they have, they need finance, and they've had to focus a little different. Eventually they hope to be able to provide tuition fees free of charge to missionary kids. That's eventually, but at this stage they're not reaching that. Lisa. Probably 99% of those that we work with are formerly Catholics. So when the Catholic Church is so large that they don't even bother anymore if people leave them and come to Christian churches. Years ago, they were much more antagonistic towards missionaries, evangelical missionaries, but not so much now. We don't seem to have any problem. Years ago, we lost about, well, almost our complete Sunday school in Cainta because the Catholic priest said, "You're coming to my school," which was the best school in town. "You come to my school, you don't go to their Sunday school." So we did lose a lot of people at that stage in our Sunday school. But they're not really a force anymore. We have become very secular in society. Filipinos are good Catholics. They attend church at least 3 times a year. Then many of them are more faithful than that, okay? But if you look at the percentage of people that attend church regularly and those that attend 3 times a year, probably the 3 times a year now is more than those that would regularly attend church. So. Last one, last chance. Judy. Okay, Sharon. Sharon's gone through a rough time recently. I don't think she'd mind us telling you that we virtually sent her home for some R&R. When she came to us, she was at the end of herself, and we strongly recommended. In fact, while she was sitting in our home, we made reservations for her to come home. She's back there now and doing okay. It's a good ministry. There is hope and prayer that a Filipino couple from Canada will come back. We knew the couple from years and years ago. And when I first heard about it, I said, "Okay, where's your ticket?" sort of thing. We have strongly encouraged them to come back to the Philippines to work with the home. There are some things that need to be straightened out as to exactly what they need to do, what they want to do, and their involvement in Shepherd's Home. But we believe that the couple would be a tremendous help to Sharon and to the ministry there. So pray that. I think the big hold-up right now is commendation. Although they were commended workers from Canada, they were working in an old people's home, I believe. They need to get their commendation changed to that as a foreign missionary. So that's in the process. We've known the family for years and years, before they were married even. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Whanganon, Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for what you are doing in the Philippines, how that you have touched the hearts of men and women who in turn have reached out to their relatives, their neighbors, their friends. We thank you, Lord, for the assemblies that have been established. We pray, Lord, that your word would continue to go forth, that assemblies will be established, new works of witness for you will be established throughout the land. Thank you for that you are still working, and that your principles and your teachings have not needed to be changed to meet the world, the needs of the world. So we pray for those back in the Philippines who continue your work. Lord, we ask that you would encourage them, that you would bless them, that many souls will come to know the Lord as Savior. We thank you for this assembly and its support for the work in the Philippines. We commend them to you. We give you our thanks and our praise in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.